You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
All right, everybody ready tonight? Got your Bibles geared up, ready? Well, turn with me, if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans, the fourth chapter. We will start there and just see where we wind up. Hallelujah. I often say, we're going to jump off that diving board and pray there's water in the pool. Hallelujah. No, I've got stirring. Last week we taught on faith or believing is the key. That's what releases God's power. You know, God's power is dormant. It's there. It's passive, as it were, although God's alive and active. Don't get me wrong. But as far as you personally, God's power is not active. It's not moving until you believe, until you call. I mean, God has the power to save the whole world. In fact, Jesus died on a cross for everyone, the whole world. But only those that call get saved. Only those that activate that promise, that desire, that will of God. And therein is the difference many times in some churches and sometimes the way we pray. There's the difference in why we get results sometimes and why we don't get results sometimes. There's in this back of our head this idea that God's just going to do whatever he wants to, and we don't have anything to do with it, and that whatever God's will is just going to happen. Somehow, religiously, that's gotten stuck in our head. I don't know how that got there, because the Bible's very plain that God's will is done as we pray his will. God's will is done as we submit to his will. For me, personally, it is. Now, he's got a general will for the whole world, and what he says is going to happen is going to happen. He's coming just like he said. He's going to rule and reign 1,000 years just like he said. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, just like he said. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Not going to change that. God said that's the way it is. But specifically, particularly, for me, I accept or reject that. I become a part of that, or I'm just cut out of that by my will, by my choice. So God's will for me particularly doesn't come, specifically doesn't happen, unless I begin to call and I begin to believe and begin to stand on the promises. Now, that's not my idea. That's not what I'm trying to say I believe and just to pull it out of the blue. That's what the Bible says. Over and over and over and over again it says that. In fact, Jesus is the one that said we are supposed to pray his will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, that's interesting, because if his will is going to happen anyway, why would you bother praying about it? And here's Jesus, our Lord and Savior, telling us to pray for his will to be done as if it wouldn't happen if we didn't pray. Wow. And that is the truth, really. Because most of what happens as far as God's promises coming to pass in your life happen when you claim them, when you trust God, when you believe him. Hallelujah. And the reason the world's in such a mess is because people aren't calling on God and aren't believing and aren't trusting God. The reason people are so wicked and evil and commit crimes, and we hear them on the TV every day, atrocious things that you hear on TV people are doing, kidnapping women and holding for 10 years, you know, I mean, that just happened this week. They discovered that. How could that happen? How could God allow that to happen? Well, God didn't do that. Those men that did that, and those people that did that, that committed that crime, disobeyed God. They didn't obey God. They didn't do his will. They were in rebellion to his will. And so that wasn't God doing that. That was someone doing the opposite of what God told them to do. Are you with me? And sometimes we do the same thing. Are you with me? So we need to act in faith and live in faith and walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? Because faith is how we cooperate with God. It's how we hook arms with God. It's how we work together with God, our Father. It's how we look like him, actually, and show him to the world. The more I live a life of faith and trust in God, the more I act on his word, do what he says, that's faith, the more the world's going to see him in me. And that's what we all want, isn't it? For him, the world to see Jesus and see Jesus in us. Hallelujah. Well, concerning faith, Romans 4. I did tell you 4, didn't I? Okay, good. Romans 4, I want to talk about an icon of faith, I guess we'd say. You know, I think about our country. Who would you say would be the father of our country? George Washington, you know, first president, often called the father of our country. There are many founding fathers that we could refer to, and Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Rush is another prominent leader in the founding of our nation, and, you know, our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Revolution that took place, and Independence Day, which we're going to celebrate here in July. you know, we have prominent men that stood and that we call the fathers of our country. But most people would say George Washington was the father of our country. And we relate to that because we're a part of this country, United States of America. If you're listening from another country, you just have to bear with me here. But as an American citizen, we have someone we look to as a start of it, a founder of it, a father of it, George Washington, our first president. When you think of faith, now let's get past Jesus. Jesus is our Savior, no question. He's the captain, the lead of our salvation, the author and finisher of our faith. He was God in the flesh. He lived, he died, he rose again. He's the Lamb of God, took away the sin of the world. No one goes to heaven without believing and trusting in him, no question. But actually in the Bible, where it talks about faith, the Bible tells us that Abraham is the father of faith. And that goes way back. I mean, that goes back thousands of years. You know, a couple thousand years before Christ, here's Abraham living an example for us to follow, operating in faith, and God's recognizing his faith. And it's recorded. In fact, you can read Genesis 12 through 25. I mean, chapters 12 through chapter 25. And you'll see all kinds of things that Abraham did. Wasn't perfect, but he believed God and he trusted God. And the Bible tells us that he is the father of faith. Now, Jews claim him as their father. Stay with me. But he wasn't the father of the Jews. He's just the father of those that believe. I mean, when you think about it, Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the one who had his name changed to Israel. And out of Jacob came what we call the 12 tribes. Are you with me? But there were no Jews in Abraham's day. I mean, he was, at best, they might have called him a wanderer. And there's an Aramaic word that's called habiru, which just means a nomad or a wanderer. And there's some credence to say, and that's the word Hebrew. We got the word Hebrew from wanderer or nomad. But there really were no Hebrews. There were no Jews. Are you with me? When Abraham comes on the scene, there's no Moses. There's no law. There's no Ten Commandments. All that's much, much later. And even his son Isaac, you know, it was his son Isaac had Jacob. Jacob's the one that had what we call the 12 tribes. So when we look at Abraham, although all Jews look back to him because that's where the promise was made of eternal life or righteousness, as it were, he predates Moses. He predates what we'd call the Jewish nation as we know it. And thank God for Jews, and we're pro-Jew, and we're pro-Israel. Are you with me? Pro-Jerusalem. But we can relate to Abraham because what Abraham did had nothing to do with the law. There was no Moses. There was no law. And what Abraham did is what Paul continually refers back to. He believed God. Hallelujah. And you and I are children of Abraham. In fact, Paul says that in Galatians. He said, we are all the children of Abraham by faith. Everybody say, by faith. By faith. And here in Romans, if you looked at Romans, and let me get my cheaters out here. You know, I always tell people, I just wear these for appearance. You know the rest of that. Things appear when I wear them. Okay. Notice what it says in Romans 4, and I'm reading out of New King James. The first verse says, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? Well, obviously nothing. Because that's what he goes through. He makes his whole case in his chapter that Abraham wasn't justified according to works, according to flesh. He was justified according to his faith. But notice how he says, what shall we then say that Abraham, our father? Everybody say, our father. Okay. Well, you say, well, that's Paul. He's a Jew. He's writing as a Jew. And so he's making that claim as a Jew. Well, no, who's he writing to? Anybody take a guess at the book of Romans, who wrote to? To Rome. Yeah, it would be the Romans. And he's writing to Gentiles, Romans that had gotten saved. Just, it's really kind of neat. When you think of the book of Ephesians, anybody take a gander at what that will be written to? Ephesus, Ephesians, that's who it's written to. Pretty simple. So most of these letters here, when you look at them, Paul's writing to Gentiles. He's writing to Gentile churches that had accepted Jesus Christ. He wasn't writing to the Jews. There's a book called Hebrews. Are you with me? And so there's very Jewish in symbolism and stories and so on and so forth in the book of Hebrews. But these books, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, are you with me? These books are written to Gentile churches. And yet here he's making the claim, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found concerning the flesh? You know, we used to sing a song. In fact, we've done it in our children's church. Y'all remember that song, Father Abraham? Had many sons. And I'm not going to do it for you. But anyway, it went something like, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. And I'm one of them, so are you. As we go marching on right foot, and you start moving that right foot. And then you keep singing the song, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. And I'm one of them, so are you. As we go marching on right foot, left foot. And then Father Abraham. And before long, you're moving your whole body. You know, it's a children's church song. You're really getting into it. But we're the children of Abraham. Amen? We are. We are actually, if you want to know the truth, spiritually speaking, we are the Israel of God. That's what Paul said. And we are Jews, not outwardly of the flesh, but inwardly of the Spirit. That also is what Paul said in Romans, the second chapter. I think it's fascinating. But what identifies us with Abraham is not a bloodline. What identifies us with him is not a race, whether we're black, white, Hispanic. I mean, come on, that has nothing to do with anything. We're all one in Christ. Are you with me? What identifies us with Abraham is faith. Faith. He's the father of faith. When we talk about George Washington being the father of this country, well, that would apply to anybody that's a citizen of the United States of America. They can make that claim. That's our father of our country, George Washington. President George Washington, first president of the United States of America, the father of our nation. Are you with me? And we can lay claim to that because we're citizens of the United States of America. Doesn't matter where we came from, another country, if we got citizenship here, if we're in this, are you with me? If we're an American citizen, then that's we can make that claim. Well, we can claim Abraham if we believe. So what this thing is, Christianity is, if the truth be known, some 30 times in the New Testament alone, Christianity is referred to as the faith, the household of faith, or the people of faith, this faith, before the faith came, Paul would say. See, this is not the doubt. This is the faith. Are you with me? And what separates us from the world is not even morality. We should live moral. We should live holy. We should be kinder, nicer. No question about it. You know, you don't need to be mean as a Christian. People ought to see the love of God in you. We ought to walk in love. And if we love, then people see God because God is love. We know that. But what separates us from the world is not that. What separates us from the world is that we believe in Jesus. They do not. And so we have unbelievers and believers. That's really the way, if you look at the scope of how God sees mankind, he doesn't see you as, you know, just tremendously perfect and good and moral and holy all the time, because I'm not always that way. How about you? I try my best and I'm getting better at it. But what he sees me is, he sees me as a believer in Jesus, as part of the body of Christ, a child of the living God, because I believe. And what separates me from the world is my faith. And the dividing line is a faith line, not a moral line. And boy, I'm careful treading that, you know, on that teaching, because I don't want to give the impression that we can live any way we want to, or we should live any way we want to. We shouldn't. We have a responsibility. We have an obligation to live holy before God Almighty, to walk worthy of this calling that we've been called with. God forbid that fornication and lying and adultery should once be named among us as becometh Christians, is what Paul says. No, that should not be done. We are Christians. We are believers. We should walk differently. But what makes us Christians is our faith. Amen? What identifies us with Abraham is our faith. What Abraham is considered to be the father of is the father of faith. Hallelujah. Woo! In fact, he goes on down in this same chapter, and he says in the 12th verse that he is the father of the circumcision, the Jews, to those who not only are of the circumcision, those who not only are Jews, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while he was still uncircumcised. Whoa, 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 whoa. Think about this. Now, there is a sign of Abraham's faith called circumcision. All the Jews, male Jews, were circumcised, and that was a sign of their faith. That was not their faith. It was a sign of their faith. The faith that Paul is talking about that Abraham showed and declared and that God accepted was the faith that he had while he was yet uncircumcised, and circumcision was just a sign of his faith. Y'all see that? Just like water baptism. water baptism is a sign of your faith. Why would you ever go up here and be baptized if you didn't believe in Jesus? You have to already believe in Jesus to follow through with that act of water baptism. And that water baptism doesn't, you know, as Sam Houston said, standing in the Brazos River, one of the founders of the state of Texas, okay, Sam Houston. He said, if the water washed my sins away, I feel sorry for the fish downstream. Now, the water is a symbol, and the baptism is a picture teaching of a burying of that old man and rising up again to walk in newness of life, is what the Scripture says. But that's all just a sign of the faith we have before we're baptized, just like circumcision was a sign of the faith they had before they were circumcised. So what we have is we have baptism, which is a sign of the faith we had while we're yet unbaptized. Are you out there? And there was circumcision, a sign of the faith they had while yet being uncircumcised. That's what it says. So when did Abraham become this father of faith? And what is it about him and what time period of Abraham's life are we connecting with here? Well, obviously, while he was yet uncircumcised, while he believed. And the father of them who believed. Are you with me? Like he believed. So it doesn't just include the Jews, it includes everyone who believes. Y'all see that? Of course, he makes that case very, very aptly. In fact, I'll tell you what, real quickly, while I'm just on the case, making this case, turn to Galatians 3. Galatians 3rd chapter. Start right there, the 6th verse. Just as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that not only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, that's us, by faith, preached the good news to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. Not just one nation, but all nations. So then those who are of faith, 9th verse, are blessed with faithful Abraham. And 26? Wow. See, New King James says you're all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. King James say something different? No. Okay. Well, we're having fun tonight. Chris is going to have fun editing this. Because what he does, he takes all this stammering and stuttering and cuts it out, you know, puts it on the web. So everything I just said, he's just going to take right out. So if you weren't here, you wouldn't have got that. Hallelujah. Well, I just blank. I thought it was 327 for some reason, but that says, means you baptized into Christ and put on Christ. And if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed, 29th verse says, and heirs according to the promise. But we're all the children of Abraham by faith. And that's the point he's making, that Abraham, in him all nations will be blessed. That was one of the promises that the Bible told us about. One of the promises in actually the 12th chapter of Genesis, a sevenfold promise that God made to Abraham when he told him to come out of his father's land, Ur the Chaldee, come into the promised land. And one of the sevenfold blessings was that he would bless all nations would be blessed in him. And that's us. So how do we connect, how we hook up with him? How do we connect with this blessing of Abraham? I like that because, you know Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for curses everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Wow, there's the blessing of Abraham coming on the Gentiles. I'm blessed with Father Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons, and I am one of them, so are you. As we go marching on, hallelujah. So I'm not, thank God for Jews, thank God for the covenant, thank God for the promises, thank God for the prophecies and the prophets, thank God for all that was held sacred and holy until Jesus came, looking to the coming of Christ, the Messiah. But the Jew has no advantage over you or I if we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Are you with me? We're all in this together. In fact, he's made one of two nations. He's made one of Jew and Gentile, broke down the wall of partition that was between us through Christ Jesus, and he has made of two people, two nations, one nation through Christ and his blood. Hallelujah. Woo! I love it. So, Father Abraham's our father. And one way you can be assured of that, if you want to operate in the promises of God, then you need to, as it says, Go back to Romans, if you would. Romans 4 chapter. Romans 4:12, and he's the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Well, you and I just need to walk in the same steps he walked in. Isn't that what he's saying? In fact, we ought to identify with our father, the father of faith, not the father in heaven. Of course, we identify with our father in heaven. But we ought to believe like he believed. Against all odds, he believed. We ought to believe against all odds. When we face insurmountable obstacles, we should believe like Abraham believed. He faced impossible situations, insurmountable obstacles. And you know what? God was just tickled pink. He was pleased by that. He loves it when you and I are backs against the wall, and yet we believe and call on him and trust him and says, I'm going to be fine in Jesus' name. My God's going to come through in Jesus' name. He always does, and he always will, and he's going to do it again. I mean, that just, I tell you, that gets all over God. I mean, there's no question he's pleased by that, because that's what the Scripture says. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. So when you're thinking about faith and releasing God's power and connecting to his promises and walking in the blessing of Abraham, think about this. You got to believe he is or you won't come to him. He must believe that he is. And you got to believe he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him or you won't ask him for anything. I mean, if you thought it was completely hopeless, why would you even ask him? So first we believe that there is a God, that he is, but we also believe that he's a God that answers prayer. Isn't that right? Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Now you say, well, that sounds kind of selfish. No, actually, that's just trusting God. I'm sure you can be selfish, but you would be remiss and wrong not to call, not to cry, not to believe, because that's what pleases God. That's what the Scripture says. Amen. It does not please God when you don't call on him. It does not please God when you don't ask him to help you. Well, I wouldn't ask God for anything. I mean, I couldn't ask God for anything for myself. Well, that doesn't please God. Because the only thing that pleases God is for you to trust him. It pleases God to know that you depend on him. I mean, the day you wake up and realize you need him, that's the day you please God. Because God knows you need him. He's waiting for you to find out. And you say, well, why does that make him so happy for me to find out I need him? Because he wants to help you, that's why. Why does it please him so much? Does he just like being boss? No. He knows we need him, and he knows we can't make it without him. And he's wanting to help us, and his heart and his compassion, his love is extended toward us. His call is out there. He's reaching out. He's looking at it. He sees our problems. He sees our hurt. He sees our pain. He can do nothing until we call. And so that's why he's so pleased when we do call, because he will help us. He wants to help us. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Are you with me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. What made God so pleased with Abraham? His faith. You know, if you look through the Scripture, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're having a little fireside chat here in May. Of course, it's Texas. We could have a fire going, or we could just have the air conditioner on. You know, it's Texas. But if you look through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, when was Jesus upset with the disciples? What was it about the disciples? There are times he was upset. What was it that just would just get in his craw, as it were, and he'd turn around and get all over? They wouldn't believe. They wouldn't tarry and pray. They wouldn't believe. Where's your faith? How is it that you have no faith? Are you with me in the storm, remember? Okay. What upset him was they didn't trust him. What amazed Jesus? Can you think of times that Jesus was just really amazed? I can think of one in particular. The centurion. Remember the centurion in Matthew 8 chapter? Came to Jesus, said, I got a servant lieth home sick. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. Yeah. Jesus said, the centurion says, no, you don't even need to do that. I'm a man under authority, and I say to this man, go, and that man come, and this man goes, and he comes, and if you just speak the word only, my servant will be healed. And Jesus, the Bible says, he was amazed. He's amazed at this. And he actually turned around and talked to the people that were with him. It says he turned to those that followed him. And he said, I hadn't found this great faith, not in all of Israel. So what amazed him? What pleased him? In fact, you go on, the story goes on. He said, he talked about the Jews, and he said, you know, many of you will come and sit down. Many outside the kingdom will come and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and his throne. And many of those in the kingdom will be cast in outer darkness because they don't believe. This man's not even a Jew, and he believes. And that's what will get you into the kingdom. That's what gets you in favor with God right there is trusting God. And many of you Jews standing right here in the kingdom, not even going to be in the kingdom. You're going to be cast in outer darkness. And people are going to come from the east and the west, not even part of the Jewish nation. But because they believe, just like this man, they're going to sit down with Abraham and Isaac. And some of you aren't going to make it. And he was talking to the Jewish nation. And he looked at that man. He said, go. He says, you believe, so be it unto you. And his servant was healed from that selfsame hour, the Bible says. That's Matthew 8 where that took place. But what amazed him, what pleased him, was their faith. So, I mean, wouldn't you like to get God excited and get him happy? Oh, come on. Wouldn't you like God to be pleased with you? Well, let's learn to trust him, to really trust, to quit being so negative, to quit being so doubtful about everything, worried about everything, you know. And we're just bombarded with bad news all the time on TV and radio and newspaper and hey, people you talk with on the street and at the gas station and everything just bad, 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 negative, negative, negative. No. Listen, we need to get in faith. We need to start trusting God. We need to start saying, hey, I'm blessed, can't be cursed, too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. Hallelujah. I'm blessed with heaven's best. Amen. Blessed by the best. Praise God. We ought to start saying, my God will supply my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm feeling some pain, a little hurt here, but I'll tell you what, I'm believing God. I'm trusting God, and God has never let me down, and he's not going to let me down this time either. See, start trusting him and start believing him. And when your back's up against the wall, I really believe if you'll dig in and start trusting God, those times please God more than anything, because that's when you could give up, you could quit. And yet you choose to believe and trust. And faith is what pleases him. That's what forever, in the corridors of time, for eternity, Abraham will always be the father of faith. Wouldn't you like to have a title like that? I mean, come on. Well, here we are, thousands of years later, still talking about it. 4,000 years later, still calling him the father of faith. Father Abraham. Woo! Hallelujah. Because he believed. And then if you go into what he did, what he did in the 17th verse, 4th chapter of Romans. Let me run through quickly. I was going to spend more time on these points, but that's all right. Is this helping anybody? Yeah. We're faith people, amen. This is the faith. Christianity is the faith. This is the household of faith. We need to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. That's what Paul said. So check yourself out. You know, if you're not believing, not trusting, you need to get in faith. You need to start trusting God. I catch myself all the time kind of fading out in an area, you know, not really believing God strongly in a certain area. I might be strong in one area and weak in another, but I need to catch myself. And whoa, wait a minute. God has something to say about that. What am I doing going that direction? I need to believe God and stand on his word. Woo. I remember one time years ago, we were struggling in the church, and it was a tough time. You know, we've 31 years now. This is be 31 years this August. We've had some great years. We've had some tough years, okay? I mean, we passed up some wonderful opportunities to quit, okay? We think all that we're doing now and all the missions we're supporting, how great the church is going, and it's nothing compared to what it's going to be. But there were times it was rough. There were times we had some tough, tough times. We couldn't hardly make the bills. We paid like 9 late payments one time in 1 year. And that cost when you do that. And we did pay them, you know. I worked in Dallas for 3 years and took off Wednesdays. And I got a job where I was working 5 days a week, but I was off Wednesday and Sunday, so I could still pastor the church, you know. But I remember one time going in the back door, thinking I was believing God. I really wasn't. But I was going in the back door of my house, and I said, I was just talking, you know, praying. I pray all the time, talk all the time to God, pray in tongues, pray in English. And I was walking in the back door saying, God, I'm going to be preaching your word. I don't care what happens. I don't care who does what or who stays or doesn't stay or who, you know, how much opposition we have or what the devil throws at us. I'll still be standing. I'm going to be preaching your word. I'm not going to quit preaching. I'm not going to quit believing you. I'm not going to quit trusting you. I'll be preaching the word no matter what happens. I'm walking in the back door making this confession, you know, thinking I'm in faith. And God says just as plainly in my spirit, you know, I never will forget. He says, son, you are to be commended for your willingness to stand on my word in the midst of this adversity. But it sounds like to me you need to believe me for some growth. I thought, what? I thought he was going to pat me on the back for being such a man of God. But I wasn't believing him for anything. I'll just believe and I'd still be standing when it's all over, you know. Well, God, you know, you ought to be standing, but he doesn't want you just to still be standing when it's all over. He would like for you to help some people along the way. Are you with me? And sometimes we get this martyr syndrome thinking we're believing, but we're not believing, really. We're just believing that we'll make it. But what about everybody else? And I repented. I got on the floor of my living room, and I said, God, I am sorry. I repent of not believing you for growth, not believing you for increase, not believing you, you know, to solve the problem. Because what good is it going to do if I'm just still standing? If you're just still standing. You know, whatever it is God's called you to do, you need to believe God to prosper it, to increase it, to bless it. Because it's about helping other people anyway. It should be. If that's not your goal and that's not your calling, then you need to change your goals and your callings. Amen. You need to find out what it is that you're supposed to be doing. Hallelujah. Okay, well, anyway, 17 verse says this. Notice what it says. 17 through the 21st verse really kind of tells us some of the steps that Abraham took. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead. That's an old English word, makes the dead alive, quicken, to make alive. Who makes the dead alive and calls those things to be not as though they were. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. You know, God makes dead situations live, and he calls things that be not as though they were. Maybe healing's a be not in your body, but the be not can be a be if you'll call it to be. Amen? So I'd rather be a be than a be not. Amen? I'm going to call them a be nots as if they be. Maybe I don't feel the healing, but I'm healing in Jesus' name, and I'm calling for it. Calling for it. I heard Charles Capps teach a sermon one time called Call the Dog. Anybody have dogs? I know lots of y'all do. Yeah, I've got dogs. Oh, my. They just keep showing up at my house. But anyway, and we just keep feeding them, you know. I guess that's the problem. We just keep feeding them. But he was talking about Rover. You know, he said, if you go outside and you got your food, you're fixing to feed Rover, and you walk out the back door and Rover's not there, what do you say? Rover! You start calling the dog. He said, you call for it. He said, that's the way God does. When it's dark, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Earth was without form and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, woo, sure is dark out here. No. He said, let there be light. He called to be not as though it be, didn't he? He called for what he wanted, not for what was. In fact, why would you call for what is? If you called for what is, you say, well, I just tell it like it is. I'm not going to start lying. Well, then when you go out and feed your dog and he's not there, I guess you stand up there and say, Rover's not here. The dog's not here. No, you call the dog. Isn't that right? What happens when you walk in the house and it's 80 degrees in there and you got an air conditioner? You go set the temperature on 80 degrees? Or do you call for 70? Yeah, Brenda does. She puts it on 60. But anyway, that's another story altogether. Yeah, we don't have ice. We don't have an ice box, or we don't have a refrigerator in our house. We just set it in the floor. It's just cold enough to. Anyway, that's another subject altogether. What do you do with a thermostat? See, I think too many of us are living like thermometers, and we should be living like thermostats. Amen. We ought to be calling for things that be not as though they were, instead of just saying the way it is. Well, I got this, and I got this problem, and I got that problem. Boy, this is going wrong. It seems like everything's going wrong. Blah, blah, yada, yada. Well, when are you going to call for help? When are you going to call for an answer? When are you going to call things that be not as though they were? That's what Abraham did. In fact, when he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, everybody Abraham met and ask his name, he said, my name is Abraham, the father of many nations. That's what the word means. And he didn't have any kids. But he was calling. He was calling for what was not as though it were. Faith is that way. That's what faith is. Faith is believing God for what you don't see. Calling for what is not. Calling for a be not as though it be. Amen. And if I'm going to please God and walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham, that's the first thing I'm going to have to start doing is believe God, trust God. That's the first thing he did. For him whom he believed, even God, who calls those things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah. Well, our first step to a miracle or for the promise to come to pass, hey, it's simple, but you got to believe God. You just got to believe God. It's not complicated. You know, we make it complicated, but we haven't even made the first step yet. We're trying to figure out a thousand ways to make this thing happen. We hadn't even started to trust God yet. Let's trust God. First, let's put it in his hands and let's believe him. Let's see what he says in his word and say, God, I believe it's going to be just like you said. I'm tired of reading the news after it happens. I'm going to read it before it happens. Hello. I'm tired of writing it all down after it took place. I'm going to start calling for it before it happens. I'm going to start reading the future news, the promises. Amen. And start calling for what be not as though it were. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man. Yeah. Got to what?
You shared this once before, but in the new English translation.
In the New English translation.
It says that the God who makes the dead alive and summons the things that do not yet exist as though they already do.
The God who makes the dead alive and summons the things that do not exist as though they already do. Ooh, I like that. That's the New English translation, NET. Oh, that is good. Hallelujah. You know, I'm just going to take this up next week. There's no way I'm going to run through the rest of those steps. Are you kidding me? I mean, that'd be a good sequel to the prequel that you just heard. Hallelujah. We're talking about our father, Abraham, the father of faith. And we're talking about walking in the steps of the faith of our father, Abraham. He's the father of those that walk in the steps, it says in that 12th verse. Well, let's walk in those steps. And there are some steps here that he took. First, believe God. Make that decision. Boy, that's paramount. That's huge right there. That's bigger than you think it is. Make your decision. Praise God, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to stand on his word. And then start walking it out.